Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Montel Weekly Podcast, bringing you energy matters in an informal setting. In today's pod, we turn our attention to France. After a tough 2022, the country's nuclear production is healthy again, and it became Europe's largest exporter of power in 2023. Have issues around corrosion been finally fixed? And what is the outlook for a generation in the coming months as we near the summer and potential cooling water issues? And could we finally see EDF connect its new generation nuclear power reactor in Flamanville to the grid in the summer? It is already 12 years behind schedule, with cost overruns of billions of euros. Helping me, Richard Sveresen, to discuss these issues and much more are Chris Eales, editor France, Montel News, and Tasmin Chowdhury of Volu. So, Tasmin, let me start with you. What is the situation at the moment with nuclear availability in France? It seems very, very healthy. Are we back to pre-COVID levels?
Yes, that's right. Monthly output in March reached its highest since around 2019. So, yeah, pre-COVID levels. And we're increasingly confident in the way output will develop for the rest of the year. So high nuclear availability, with the load factor reaching around 70% in January, or over that in January, it's definitely very high levels. And we are quite certain that production should remain high for the rest of the year. I think there is a general sentiment in the market as well of the confidence in EDF's annual output target for this year, which should be around 315 to 345 terawatt hours. So given the current availability schedules, hopefully there are no more surprises down the road, but we're pretty content with the nuclear output outlook.
Excellent. How does that compare with previous years and that output target? What was the target they had, and what was actually achieved in 2022?
So yeah, in as you mentioned, in 2022 was a crisis year for EDF and also the general European energy landscape. We had output slumping to around 280 terawatt hours, which was the lowest in over 30 years. A lot of that was due to the corrosion issues and extended maintenance that couldn't take place in the previous years due to workforce issues and COVID. So a lot of these inspections had to take place in 2022, which severely reduced output. We saw that rebound in 2023, and I think ever since then there's been more confidence in overall production levels.
Now, that's very interesting. What's the reason for the confidence here that you think that both you and you're saying that the market participants generally have in these figures and the generation from EDF's fleet of nuclear reactors?
EDF has itself reported in its annual statement for last year, 2023, that around most of the corrosion issues at the affected plants have been dealt with. And I think there was only one more reactor which is undergoing corrosion tests, and that's expected to be finished by the end of 2025. So that seems to be mostly out of the way. There's a more of a relaxed sentiment in that regard. It's a very complex process, but they seem to have completed these checks faster than they anticipated and that we all expected as well. But it's important to note that most of these reactors are aging. They're approaching their 40-year lifespan. So they've been in operation for a long time. So we can expect a lot more issues and...
We can expect. I mean, they're stretching the lifespan of these reactors, as you mentioned, Tansen. But at the same time, you know, France assumed its role as the biggest exporter of electricity last year. Do you think this will last? Then you seem to be saying that you have confidence that it will continue to generate in the numbers that we've seen already this quarter and last year.
Given the increased output and the performance so far, then Q1 this year and also across last year, we've seen France delivering on the spot market at lower prices, so it's been able to maintain its position as a net exporter. We see that continuing, throughout the year. I mean, this is quite surprising given that in the winter, France is usually dependent on its neighbor countries for net imports. But we see our current forecasts are even expecting net exports through Q4 and Q1, Q4 of this year and Q1 2025. Although nuclear is only one part of the equation, we also saw lower consumption over the winter due to quite mild weather conditions. We only had a handful of cold snaps, and we saw that the French system was able to cope with this, and we didn't see strong spikes in power prices over the winter, at least not in comparison to the spikes we saw in 2022.
And certainly in April, at the beginning of April, we've seen also increased renewables production and exports from France also pushing down prices in neighbouring countries.
Yeah, exactly. So there's just a really healthy supply balance across Europe. So production in particular, we've seen a boom in capacity over the last few of the last years, and that's expected to continue. So we are seeing a very strong bearish impact on prices across the Central West region, and this is enabling a general bearish trend and contributing to the overall good supply balances. Also, hydro is important. We've seen an increase in hydro balances across the region, contributing to improved supply margins.
Yep, excellent. Chris, if I can turn to you. Tasman mentioned corrosion issues. That was obviously a major factor hitting output last year in 2022 as well. Are we out of the woods? Is that all over now?
No, I don't think you can say it's all over now. And I don't think... it's not possible to say that because EDF is currently still carrying out probes and repairs at the same time. There's two different things, at least two different things going on here at the same time. They have to probe reactors to see whether they have, in fact, got corrosion. So to say we're out of the woods would be wrong. Earlier last month, Montel reported, and it was confirmed that there was two cracks at Belay, at the EDF's Belay nuclear power plant in the west of France. So this is a new outbreak of corrosion, a new appearance of corrosion. They will have to repair the area involved, which is sections of piping on the primary circuit. They've also... EDF has given us a warning that some outages at reactors may have to be extended to allow these probes and repairs to continue. And they've given us averages. They've said that at a number of reactors this year, 13, I think it is, one in three planned outages may have to be extended on average by 30 days. It's very sort of, that's quite complicated to understand, and it's not particularly transparent. But what EDF is doing is saying to us, saying to everyone, saying to the market, we've anticipated these problems, and they're not going to affect our nuclear output tubs for this year or next. But you've got to bear in mind that it's very unpredictable, this kind of corrosion, and that we're not being given all the information. When Montel reports on corrosion, we find instances of corrosion. It's then potentially, sometimes it's confirmed, sometimes it's not. But anyway, the point is it's going on. And let's not forget in January that EDF received the okay from the Authority of Surety Nuclear to extend corrosion probes to other circuits on the primary circuit, other lines on the primary circuit. So those checks will happen this year, next year. So you can't anticipate the results of all these things. Corrosion is unlikely on those lines. It's true, but all I'm saying is that's a new the probe has been extended to cover these lines, and those checks are going on during planned outages this year and next.
What type of reactor is that, Chris? I mean, this is a set of a series of reactors, or is it just the Blaye mentioned, or you know?
The Blaye is an older reaction, an older reactor. Remember that at the outset, one of EDF's findings was that it was likely to be the newer reactors that were more susceptible vulnerable to corrosion than the older ones. But actually, we have seen corrosion on older reactors as well, including this Belaya reactor. So it is all reactors, and in effect, they have to check all the reactors, all 56 reactors, and they have to carry on with their replacements at the same time. So, yes, the point is, EDF saying no, it's not going to have any impact. But I think we've got to be slightly wary of that because they don't know what they might find. You know, no one can read into the future yet. Not even EDF, as far as I'm aware, they don't have that ability.
And so, there have been surprises in the past as well that have also impacted
that. Yes, there have been surprises. I mean, EDF has not been able to predict where and when they will find this corrosion, despite the constant line, the official line from EDF is that everything's under control. But it isn't, and it's not the nature of the problem, actually. It is difficult, and it's difficult to find. Ultrasound inspections are difficult. It's difficult to repair, and it takes a long time to repair, months and months.
And it's a massive layer of complexity here as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and it covers an entire fleet, and it's Europe's biggest fleet.
If not the world's, in a way. Well, maybe China's is also very large. But Chris, so Tasman expressed confidence that EDF would meet that target. What's your view here, given your experience in the French power market and what you've known, what's happened in the past?
Well, you know, I've probably said this many times before. I take those targets with a pinch of salt because they usually change them. So I would expect them to change these targets as we go through the year. I'm not saying there'll be huge changes. They are allowing themselves some margin because they never used to give a target range. We used to have a target, you know, a single figure. We now have a range, so that does allow them to. That's why they do that, because they used to change it, it made them look pretty ridiculous. I would expect changes, but as Tasman said, the picture is so different this year, so I wouldn't expect a big drop, unless, of course, there's some unusual, there is a big corrosion fire, which I don't expect. I'm just saying that the picture is not as clear as you might think. Well, I don't think it is, and the issue isn't over. But we're not back in 2032. No, we're not back in that situation.
You know, there's often a discrepancy, is there not, Tasman, between what EDF forecasts and what it actually produces? Have you, what's the situation been like in recent, what's it been like in recent weeks or months even, this so far in 2024 even?
We've definitely noticed a shrinking gap in between actual production and forecast availability or announced availability. And in recent months, there has been some downward adjustments when we see in periods of very high renewable production. So there is some slight flexibility there.
But what's your view here, Chris? Is that as Tasman is saying, is that gap being reduced? Is that shrinking? The what EDF expects and what it actually then produces?
The gap between forecast and reality is still pretty wide. We monitor this weekly, and so I can tell you that in the week of the 21st of February, it was most surprising, because I think for the first time ever, EDF's weekly forecasts, EDF estimates, matched the actual reality of French weekly nuclear capacity. It was 45.7 gigawatts. I can remember this. I got a great memory. I'm looking at my notes. And so that was fascinating, that for once they actually matched the estimates match reality. So usually they don't. And I haven't seen enormous improvement in estimates, personally. I mean, we haven't in Monto really seen that. They're still pretty way out, EDF's estimates.
But I mean, there's a lot of, have you mentioned as well at Tasman, the solar capacity that's coming, not only in France, but in its neighbours. And that's going to, but that adds to the complexity of forecasting availability, does it not? Because if you have especially a lot of behind the meter or household solar consumption that isn't actually being metered, then that, if that gets pushed across borders, then that is something that you can't really forecast that well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what Chris mentioned, that we should be cautious about EDF's annual output target, because there's always the possibility for downward revisions. And I think in general, the market is quite prepared and aware of these downward risks to actual production in comparison to availability. So there's something that we could see go forward. I mean, I looked back at the data for last weekend, which was the Easter weekend, and we saw nuclear production drop by 10 gigawatts just for 1 or 2 days when we saw a steep drop in demand. So those downward revisions, yeah, should be, we should continue to see them over the summer.
If we stick to the summer, there's expectations, is there not, Chris, that that the Flamanville reactor that I mentioned in the intro will actually come online fairly some years late, it must be said.
Yeah, it's a little late, you know, like a train. Actually, not like a train, it's a lot later than that, and a lot more serious, I'd say, because it's so many billions of euros over budget as well. Fuel loading is due to begin in a few weeks. This is interesting, because we've had a delay in fuel loading with a summer launch expected. This is EDF, right, saying they're going to launch this reactor in the summer. This is... Previously, they said they would launch it by mid-2024. The summer can be anywhere between 20th of June and 22nd of September. So even if they do manage to do this summer, right, they haven't started the fuel loading, as I said. That was delayed because of a failure of inspections of boiler repairs by Framatome, which is a company owned by EDF, amidst a suspicion of fraud. But anyway, even if they do get it going this summer, how important will it be for the market? How much will it generate? How important will it be? Because there are still issues. There are issues with the lid of the reactor that has to be changed at the next outage. They're going to stop this reactor in 2026 to change the lid, which is suffering from carbon segregation. Basically, it means the steel on the lid is very weak, so it has to be changed. And now, EDF has said that they expect to be able to generate 14 terawatt hours by the end of the year, which is quite a lot. 14 terawatt hours equaled 5% of French nuclear output in 2023, a massive amount. However, we have industry sources telling us that there is no real expectation that production from the EPR will reach any kind of nominal capacity level. We won't be able to rely on this. The grid is not going to rely on this power because it's going to be on and off. There are going to be tests until this first outage. So what I'm saying is, even if there is a startup by the summer or in the summer, we shouldn't be relying on that kind of power, a big boost in power, let's put it that way. That's what industry sources are telling us. So we get to 2026, then the plant is going to go back offline, if all goes to plan, for several months while they change this lid. They also have other issues as well. There's an issue at Taishan. The EPR at Taishan in China was stopped in 2020 because of leaking fuel rods. And that issue has had implications for the EPR and is part of the reason why it was delayed, for Flamanville EPR. And there's still some work to be done to complete that, as I understand it. So there are a few challenges ahead for EDS with some of them.
I mean, we've seen in Finland as well that, you know, once a big unit such as, you know, an EPR or a big nuclear reactor comes online, a new one onto the system, then it also, you know, the system shock is such or can be such that it increases the likelihood or the probability of negative prices in some areas with that amount of supply coming on stream. Now I don't know, Tasman, what have you modelled here in terms of the startup of Flamanville?
So we are also expecting it to come online sometime this summer, but we're also skeptical about its launch, and as Chris rightly pointed out, any production volumes from Flamanville will be additional. So it's not something to rely on and not under our estimates, but we don't see it breaching full production by Q1 as was originally anticipated. So probably some slight delays there.
One of the issues as well that seems to crop up regularly, Chris, is as we reach the summer months, there are the cooling water issues, aren't there? So that can also affect production. And in terms of, you know, reactors need to be taken off because the water's, you know, breaches environmental limits in terms of what it can cool down or not. Or, you know, certainly is too warm. And when the water's discharged back into the rivers, it affects you know, the marine life in rivers and in France. But what's your view ahead of the summer?
We can expect the French government, EDF, and the French nuclear safety authorities to ignore environmental problems, because dumping hot water, recycling hot water into rivers is destroying fauna and destroying elements. That's why there are rules to stop that from happening. But what actually happens is that the government and the French safety, nuclear safety authority decide to manage those rules. In other words, they move the goalposts. So you can say, well, we will allow you to release hotter water. We will allow you to between these dates. And we will make that the time that what they've actually done is they make the period of time when you can dump hotter water longer. And so that is overcome. They're doing this because obviously, you know, everything's getting warmer. And it's a problem. It's not going away. This is not a solution, but this is how they manage it, and this is what I expect them to do this year as well.
Chris and Tasman, I think we can safely say there are sort of choppy times ahead in the months ahead, but at the moment certainly supply looks ample and availability is very healthy, but who knows what lies around the corner. Thank you very much for joining the Montel Weekly Podcast.
Thanks.